Hey, welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio, also iHeartRadio, Apple, Stitcher, now on Amazon.com and Audible, and Deezer, Stitcher, all of your favorite podcasters. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and joining me today, my co-host, everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ, Hannah Bach.
Hi, guys. How are you doing? How'd you enjoy your birthday show last week, Mark?
I love the birthday show. It's getting a lot of lot of props on YouTube. People are loving it, and cool. People are watching it. And I was telling people at a party, they're like, "What'd you have for your birthday show?" I was like, "Well, I had a, you know, a bearded lady, transvestite comedian, lesbian podcaster, everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ. Wouldn't have it any other way." And it's and the birthday treats just keep coming because you know my birthday was November 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 2 years ago on my birthday. That's when I met this young lady whose birthday is on November 3rd. Mm-hmm. And so in
happy birthday.
In 2 years, she's blowing up. She has not one, not two, but three shows currently. The Witch Doctorate, The Glitter Cast, which I listened to today, and Betwixt the Shadows. Am mm-hmm. I right about that?
Yeah.
It's a watch. She is a psychic. She is a witch. She's been on the show before twice. Both times Hannah couldn't make it. We're going to talk about that. But Renee, thank you for being back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always nice to be able to catch up with you and now to meet you, Hannah.
It's a pleasure to meet you as well, finally.
Yeah. And last time you were on with two very outgoing and some would say narcissistic, but wonderful people. First, Jill Love, now Davida Sal, and Stanton LaVey, and it's hard to get a word in edgewise with either one of them. So now you have our undivided attention for a whole hour, Renee.
I almost forgot about the Stanton LaVey one because it was so much about him.
I kept trying to work you in, and he was filming his movie. It was a whole thing.
It was part of his project, so it made sense that he took the reins. Yeah.
Right. Anyway, well, I'm going to take the reins real quick because we got to do our sponsors. I'm going to get them out of the way real quick. Although there's a change in Amazon now, Hannah.
Oh.
You know how it used to be you get one free book, one free Audible original, or two free Audible originals or whatever. Yeah. Now, if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, audibletrial.com/DMS, you get one free book. Unless you have Amazon Prime, then you get three free books, and all of the Audible originals are free.
Ooh.
So you get the adaptation of Sandman for free. You get the Alien 3 where they put Lance Henriksen. They used William Gibson's script and they got Lance Henriksen, Michael Biehn, all-star cast. You get Kate McKinnon's play. You get Bob Newhart's talk show. Whatever Audible original you want, you got access to all of them. So, and that's with your monthly trial. You get a free month and a free 30-day trial and a free book. Cancel anytime, you keep the free book. So also... We are sponsored by, and Renee, you used to be vegan. Now, are you vegetarian now? Did you go back to veganism? Did you start eating meat? What's going on?
I'll never eat meat again. I stopped eating meat when I was 10. I'm a vegetarian, but I'm mindful about where I get my eggs from. Like I get my eggs from the farmer's market. And then, you know, with dairy, I'm still pretty much on like oat milk and oat creamer and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
So. Well, one of these days, hopefully soon, I will take you to do me some cooking and make sure you bring your appetite because it's got the best vegan food. It's vegan comfort food. And they have, I was there about a month ago, tried the new chicken cordon bleu sandwich. Ooh. Vegan chicken cordon bleu sandwich.
That sounds amazing.
I'm a meat eater. I loved it. Bigger and more delicious than the Popeye's chicken sandwich, I swear. They've redone the menu. They have brought back pasta now. So now you can get chicken parmesan, you can get chicken alfredo. They also have a separate Mexican restaurant right next door where you can get the mm-hmm. biggest flautas you ever had, burritos, the nachos that were voted. LA Weekly said they were one of the 10 best nachos in LA, the only one without meats.
My favorite, Tiliarino.
Tiliarino is great.
Yes, so amazing.
1253 Vine Street, this guy's a genius. He's been on a show, Phil. 1253 Vine Street, support your local businesses. Do Me Some Cooking. And just real quick, Hustler Hollywood, looking for a Christmas gift or a birthday gift to the one that you love, your girlfriend, your wife. We're going to have some suggestions on our social media. go to at Dark Mark Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. But also, we also have a link on this show where you get 20% off any order and a free dirty gift. And Spy Associates, you want to spy on somebody, you want to see somebody spying on you, you want to put a camera in your smoke detector, you want to get a GPS tracker, whatever you want, some James Bond stuff, 20% off any order over $249. And actually, since the pandemic, people have been using that code and really, people are really paranoid. So if you're paranoid, go to Spy Associates, get some gadgets. And
you know, I might get one too, because I had a Sephora package stolen broad daylight yesterday afternoon, right off my porch.
My Amazon package was stolen too.
Really? It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I'm about to get a camera and I'll find them.
I live in an apartment building, so it could be anybody, but
I live in like kind of cute, like nice little neighborhood. I'm like, what's going on? My neighbors outside, people are jogging even though there's a pandemic, and there's broad daylight. Yoink.
Well, speaking of pandemic, you have your choice now. You can get the classic Dark Mark Show mask.
Yes.
Or, this was my birthday gift to myself, the double strength heavy duty Dark Mark Show mask.
Nice.
Awesome.
These are available in Hanabok. You can get Hanabok masks in both ways. You can get the Dark Mark Show t-shirts or anything. They got coffee mugs. They have laptop bags. They have tote bags. Anything. If you don't want my face on it, you definitely want Hannah's face on it. So get the Hanabok merchandise at tpublic.com/users/user/DMS. And one more thing, on this show, you will get 15% off a case of my favorite energy drink, and I'm going to have to drink it now to keep pace with these two energetic ladies. Ray's energy drink. This is the best. I've tried them all. This is the best. This is great bubblegum flavor. You get 50% off any case. Zero carbs.
Zero crash. Crack that can.
Delicious. Says it right on the side of the bottles or on the other ones. Anyway. Okay, anyway, electrolytes, you get the gyms, Raise energy drinks. Okay, let's start with the obvious. This is the third time you've been on the show, Renee. I could talk to you forever. The other two times, Hannah was supposed to be joining us, and things happened both times. Mm-hmm. Is that some sort of supernatural occurrence, or what happened there? What do you think happened?
I know the first time she wasn't feeling well, which was interesting because that was one of the times I actually did like channel both of your energy and like take notes. And so I had these like notes, but I was like, oh, I wonder if like she has an upset stomach or something. And then you were like, she can't make it. She's sick. And I was like, oh.
So you knew she was sick before you came on.
I didn't know until you told me, but I thought that I thought it might've been a solar plexus thing, cause that's where that chakra is. But then you said like, oh, she didn't feel well. And I was like, oh, okay. She's actually like, it was her being sick that I was picking up on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have my bad days and good days. So luckily today's a good day.
Well, you look good, healthy.
I wanted you two to meet cause I know, and at the end of the show, you'll find out, you probably already have a sense of it. You two are going to get along great, be BFFs. You're going to love each other.
We're here for it. I think we're both here for it, right?
Yeah, and the second time was more of a transportation issue, but
my lovely car.
Because we were shooting at a private studio, Burbank. It's a long story, but it's a Stanton LeVay story. But enough about him. We talked about him enough last time. You, I am so proud of you, Renee. You Thank were you. Featured in Cosmopolitan magazine, of all magazines, of one of the
podcasts. Yeah, I've actually been in Cos. I think that was my second or third time. I've been really lucky just in the people that I've become friends with through my industry. Just like most of them are based in New York. So I feel like my best friends in the industry are actually in New York, but New York is all about publicity and publishing and, you know, getting your name out there through articles. And so I just happen to have really loving, caring friends who throw me in their interviews or throw me in their articles that are just very supportive. So I feel so lucky to be involved with the people that I'm involved with.
Cosmopolitan must be cooler than I thought, because I didn't think they really had all these cool mystical stuff and podcast reviews and all this other stuff. Last time I watched, it was like, 50 things to do to your guy and, how to keep a man happy, that kind of shit.
Well, they've definitely evolved with with just feminism evolving, I think. They still totally have all of those like sexy articles, which I think is part of the drive. I mean, I can still be a feminist that wants to know how to please my man. Like, there's no problems there. But I think
That will please him. That's it.
Yeah, but you want to fuck. You don't want to just fuck someone. You want to fuck someone well. There's a difference.
Well, I agree. I know. but to a man, it's not that much of a difference.
Well, I can't attest to that, but I think that in the last few years, Cosmo's always had astrology. They've always had astrology, but I think in the last few years. With like the revamp of Sabrina and with shows like The Magicians coming out, there's just been a resurgence in the mystical sort of, unknown, mysterious parts of life. And I think just Cosmo's picked up on it.
You think that's indicative of the culture in general?
Yeah, I think culturally we've just sort of gotten to a place where like, how much have crystals blown up in the past 5 years?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much.
A freaking lot, man.
The other night, a bunch of people were comparing crystals. I had no idea. I have no.
They crystals. Really have, especially with home shops now because of the pandemic. If you go online to like Etsy, there's a ton of different crystals and jewelry and healing rocks.
Do you have crystals, Hannah?
I have some from when I was a little girl because my mother worked in a shop in Alaska when I was little that had all of that.
Oh,
I didn't know that. Yeah.
So I kind of grew up with that and all the incense and sage. I actually have my sage.
Yeah.
Go around the house.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for real. Because
mm-hmm. Are you at your house or you're at the Crooked Path right now?
I'm at my house. This is just my house. Just looks like a cult shop.
I was gonna say, it's one or the other. I was like, wow, this is either the coolest occult shop ever or. It's and chills and hangs out.
It's my office.
Because I not all of my Zoom meetings are this colorful, but
I hate white walls. I want there to be color on my walls, just because it affects my mood so much. Having color around me, I feel like I'm really just. It's an important part of my, just feeling at comfort within my own home.
That's interesting because. Obviously when we were talking before, you really came of age in the, you formed a coven when you were 13, you mm-hmm. discovered the Arizona punk scene and obviously the goth scene. So you wouldn't paint your walls black, but they have to be colorful.
When I was like in the punk scene, I had two red walls and then the smaller walls, I had two accent walls that I painted, hand painted zebra stripes. So I feel like that was kind of anarchist punk rock, still kind of gothy. But I mean, this is still like a dark purple. It's not like, I will never have a yellow wall by choice. I'm never going to like, or orange, like that's not happening. But
right. It's a very pretty like amethyst purple.
Yeah. And I mean, the reason I painted it purple too is because I do all my, I do all my readings from home in this room and purple is affiliated mm-hmm. with the third eye and our intuition, but also magic. And so I want to feel like my workspace is a magical place where I can do the work that I need to do and just let that energy sort of flow freely.
Okay. Which leads me to this question. And by the way, before I get to this question, I'm colorblind. Am I missing like a lot of life or what?
I don't think so.
It's like a red green colorblind. It's not that huge a thing, but when they show you the pictures, you're supposed to, a word's supposed to pop out. I never see it.
Right. I think I can't really speak to that experience, so it would be hard to comment one way or the other, but do you feel like you're missing? I think it's just a different perspective. I don't necessarily think it lacks. Okay. But again, it's not my experience, so it's hard to comment on.
All right. Well, I think we're all missing some things. I mean, you use more of your brain power than everybody else with your intuition and your spirituality and your psychic abilities and everything else, and your magical abilities. This is a question I definitely want to get into. I'm glad we're getting to it really early. I was hashtagging your picture with magic with a K, and I know there's magic with a C, but then I was on your website and you were talking about magic with CK. So what's the difference between the three?
Well, I've never really dealt with magic with just a K. It's always been magic with a C or magic with a CK. Magic with a C refers to stage magic, and magic with a CK, that was actually a spelling that Aleister Crowley came up with. And it was basically to differentiate, you know, occultism from stage magic.
Okay. So it's all the same.
Well,
it's theatric and ones. It's not like, I've always heard magic with a K is evil and magic with a C is good. And
magic with a C, as far as I know, is like something a magician, like a stage magic person would do, like someone who's going to like do some sleight of hand.
Yeah.
If you're looking at a magic with a CK, like that's like a ceremonial magician or a witch or something like that.
Okay.
It's really just to differentiate.
So, and Renee is a legitimate witch, Hannah, and I'm sure, she even has the podcast to prove it, the witch doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a doctorate in witchery? I mean, did they have that online or what happened?
Well, so I started that podcast because I wanted to, you know, trying to grow my career, I felt like I needed to be able to produce content. Yeah. But I also didn't want to have it take away from my personal studies and being able to learn and grow as a witch or as a psychic. And so the concept when I came up with it was that every semester I was going to have a new topic. So the very first semester, I just dove into astrology super hard. And I had, you know, I interviewed different comedians and different people of each sign. And I had a little lesson about, like, you know, basically walking people through learning astrology. And when I went into that, I didn't know anything about astrology, pretty much. And so, you know, now it's been almost 4 years later, and I'm, you know, professionally reading natal charts, and I'm, you know, writing horoscopes professionally, and it's become part of my actual, like, ability to make money. But so that's sort of where the witch doctorate came from. Like, I was pursuing my doctorate degree in witchcraft. And then it kind of lost that structure of like what I was going to teach each semester, but I stayed on, you know, topic of like witchcraft and paranormal stuff.
You think maybe you could come up with a curriculum and really teach it for like at a college?
Astrology or witchcraft?
Both.
I mean, yeah, I suppose you could. Especially
they've got courses in comic books and stuff. I mean, they got courses in everything. There's some college will take anything.
Yeah, maybe I'll look into that. I think that you have to have a legitimate like doctor's degree though to be a professor, so I don't know. I guess that you'd have to get that in religious studies or philosophy or something in order to
The universal life churches out there, I know a lot of ministers there that do a lot of weddings, so you could probably get something like with them. Anyway, and then you have two new podcasts. One, now you've been working at the Crooked Path for, let me back up because we have similar stories. We both ended up in New Orleans looking for fresh starts and ended up not staying there very long, it seems like.
Right.
But I understand, and I was listening to you on our friend, our mutual friend who I've actually known for years, Karen Runtowski, who's been on the show before, and we got to have her back on again. You went to New Orleans. You were apparently on some really whacked out comedy tour. You do stand up comedy as well, and act and model, and really a really not so great comedy tour, and derailed and went to New Orleans, and kind of that's where you started doing the tarot readings.
Yeah, it is. I had a gig fall through, and it was really like a hand-to-mouth tour where I was like doing couch surfer. I just wanted to get out of town. I was going through a divorce. I just wanted to feel free. And one of my gigs fell through and I needed that money to get home. So I thought, well, I'll go to New Orleans and I'll strip because I've done that. You know, I did that to make money as well on part of the tour. And when I got there, I got hired at a club, but I wasn't like super excited to do it because it's just like that job sucks, especially if you're, you know, it doesn't suck for everyone. And I don't want to disparage the profession because I think it's a great option and it really helped me, you know, have the freedom to build my career for what it is now. But when you're a sensitive person, when you're empathic, like that job can just wear down on you because people aren't always respectful. And it's just like, ugh. So I got a job and I wasn't like super excited to start the next day, but I was like, okay with it. And then I saw all these tarot readers just like set up in the French Quarter. And I just like, you know, when the wheels started to turn, I had my tarot cards with me. And I remember I walked around a corner and I saw this street poet as they have in New Orleans, like with the typewriters. And he looked like a fucking vampire. Like he looked so mysterious. And I was like, I kept walking and then I turned around. I was like, I'm gonna go talk to that guy. And we became friends. We're still friends. His name by birth is Random. And
his name is Random.
By birth. Yeah. It's like, you like, I've seen like letters that his mom wrote him. Like I've seen his license. Like his name is Random.
I don't want kids, but if I ever do, I'm going to name my son Random.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. So he really showed me the ropes and we were working the corners together. I was doing tarot readings. He was doing poems and he made more money doing that than I would have made doing that gig that I was supposed to do. I probably would have made more money stripping, but I made more money, you know, I made more money than the gig.
You made enough. And stripping, you know, stripping, there's no shame in stripping. We have no judgment here, but it's not for exactly. You, apparently. So, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I think it, like, I love that, first of all, I think it was an integral part of my development just in terms of like being able to have a conversation with a stranger and being able to like relate and connect to people immediately because like you don't make an hourly wage. So I think that it helped me sort of find my voice in some ways. But also just like the freedom that came with that job, being able to work just whenever I felt like it, not having to worry about, you know, I usually worked 15 hours a week and I was making as much as I would have made in a full-time job. And so with that extra time, I was able to focus on my art. And so, you know, if I love doing it, I'd still be doing it. I love the freedom it gave me. And there, it wasn't like I went there and every night was shit. You know, I went there and I got to dance with no clothes on. Like, that's great. but I would just rather be doing this.
By the way, I about a year ago, I happened to click on an Instagram story of you. Mm-hmm. And I did catch you nude.
You caught me nude?
You were dancing, doing something.
Was it one of my stories?
It was yours.
That sounds possible. I used to be riskier with my 24-hour Instagram stories. I've become a little bit
more. It like flew by and I was like, What was that? I had to go back. Oh yeah. And then I didn't linger too long, but I was just like, it was so shocking that to see you, dude, that I mean, you're beautiful, but I was just like, what? I wasn't expecting to see that.
Yeah. I
think if you have a beautiful body, just, you know, be proud and show it.
I'm a very sex positive person for, you know, whatever anyone's comfort level is. I've kind of, become a little bit more conservative just because not everyone is like super receptive to nudity or like being scantily clad. And I want to have a welcoming presence for anyone who could be seeking guidance. So that's kind of where I've changed like my professional, what I'm projecting and what I'm putting out there, but I still remain very sex positive.
Thought it wasn't a hallucination or a fantasy of mine. It may have happened. So.
Yeah, there were times I used to do like risque. I never went full nude on my Instagram post because I think you can get banned for that. But like, yeah, I would do a risky post here and there.
It wasn't a post. It was a story. And yeah, so it was a story. Anyway, be that as it may, you ended up in Arizona. You ended up in LA. And how did you end up hooking up with Sal as a Crooked Path, who I've known for years as well?
So that was kind of faded, I felt like, because I used to live in San Francisco and one of my old San Francisco friends lived in LA and I didn't know very many people when I moved out here. So I reconnected with him And he lived in the same, at the time, he lived in the same building as Sal and Popey, the owners of the Crooked Path. And he does woodwork and stuff like that. And he built their shelves. And so I was new to town. I hung out with him. He's like, oh yeah, like you should check out this shop called the Crooked Path. And I walked in there and I was like, oh, hi. Like my friend Joel told me about this place, blah, blah, blah. And Sal just goes, hey, do you do readings? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, can you teach? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, do you want a job? And I had been in LA for like less than a month, and the store had been open for like less than a month. And so we just like, you know, I moved there right when it opened, and I've been there ever since. I mean, that's just like the beginning of my LA journey was at the Crooked Path.
If you were there a month before, it wouldn't have been there. If you were there a month after, you probably would have hired somebody else.
Yeah, maybe. And I've been with them since the beginning. So I'm their lead tarot reader now, and I schedule and I hire all the other tarot readers. So it's nice because it's like there's a like a position, you know.
Man, are you familiar with Sal and the Crooked Path?
Huh?
Excuse me?
Do you know the Crooked Path, Hannah? Are you familiar with Sal and the Crooked Path?
I am not. No.
It's in Burbank, and I know that's a haul for you, but it's a great shop. Sal, I've known for years, and I went to the shop. Renee gave me some stuff to bless my new apartment with some sage and stuff. Oh, and then I'm looking at you and you're like, don't use sage. Or you're like, oh, for a new apartment, use sage, but don't. Yeah. I don't know. But
yeah, I've only been to the Psychic Eye because that's the closest shop to me, like here in the South Bay.
Nice.
Well, when things open up and you're in the Burbank area or the Hollywood area, you got to swing. I got to go there again, but I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking of doing, Renee, later on in the show, but you and Sal now have a new show on YouTube now, and you're live streaming it as well, Betwixt the Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And he's quite a character. No, you definitely should check it out, Hannah. Tell everybody a little bit about Betwixt the Shadows.
Well, it's pretty free form. We have people submit questions in advance, but we also, you know, we allow people to submit questions while we're live. And Sal and I are like brother and sister. So we kind of bicker and we have that back and forth, but we also have very different and similar perspectives on how something can be done. So, I mean, he really specializes in ceremonial magic. He's one of the smartest occultists that I've ever met. I mean, he'll start talking and you're just like, it's so captivating, but for half of the time you're like, what is he talking about? Like, he's just so smart. And
very nice.
Well, depending on the day you catch him.
No, I you work with him, so. But every time I've been with him, he's been nothing but cool, so.
He's so sweet. No, he's never actually been cranky with me. It's just, like, funny because there will be some days where he's, like, friendlier than others. But he's, like, he's always very welcoming and very kind to everyone. And on my end, you know, I'm more astrology-based, more psychic-based. I am a practicing witch, but I, you know, everything when it comes to witchcraft, everything that I practice, like, I've really just sort of taught myself and picked up things, you know, throughout my journey. And he's been in, you know, straight up covens, and he's done like a year and a day in initiations and all that crazy shit. So we meet in the middle on a lot of things, but we also just come from very different backgrounds. So it's nice to have sort of like, I feel like we can cover a lot of different angles.
If I may ask, throughout your career, have you ever dealt with somebody that has maybe an illness and they were sick and they were born with it? Is there any way you could maybe help them or make it better that, you know, modern medicine can't do anything about it?
I mean, every sort of reading and situation is different. When it comes to chronic illness or yes, anything like that, I'm never going to be one of those people who claims to know more than a doctor. And it sucks because, you know, I've dealt with people who have chronic illness, and one of my very close friends has a lot of chronic illness. I actually even lost a friend recently who had really bad endometriosis and stuff like that. And what comes up in a reading more than like a solution is just sort of like where the emotions are at in that moment. Like, you know, how to sort of like process and deal with like the grief around chronic illness, and then also, you know, like spiritual things that you can bring into your space to sort of like help with that. But all I can really offer outside of like energy work is almost like a faith and maybe a placebo, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, my unfortunately, this is very sad. My best friend, she was a white witch, and she passed away about 2.5 years ago. And she tried to help me because I have a chronic illness. And she looked at every herb she could find, and there was nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, but she just said, stay positive.
Yeah, and that's hard. I mean, that's hard. That's some of the struggle too. And I think that for a lot of people who have chronic illness, they're used mm-hmm. to hearing like, oh, you're so strong. Like I can't, you know, like I couldn't do it. And I think that at a certain point, you probably get sick of hearing that. And you're like, well, I don't want
to be strong.
Solution.
I'm just going to cry.
I'm going to cry with you, girl.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it's hard because I've also, you know, talking to people who have chronic illness, it can start to affect your relationships too, where if, you know,
it does.
If you don't, yes. you know, if you have to cancel plans a lot because you're not feeling well, then all of a sudden you realize you're not getting invited places and you're like, dude, I'm not flaking on you. Like, please just like, I still want the invite. Just know, like, you know, please be understanding if I can't make it.
Right.
And also, you know, there can be there can be issues within personal relationships where you have like close friendships who don't want to like confide in you their problems because you think that they think that you have enough on your plate, and you're like, I still want to be here for you. I still, you know what I mean? 100%. So like, I think that like the isolation comes in a way that a lot of people don't necessarily consider or think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so exactly. Yeah.
But I to be honest, I mean, there's nothing I can do or anybody can do about the illness. Hopefully the doctors can. But since I've met you, or, you know, we met, but, you know, since we started doing the show, I would say now in 2020, oddly enough, in odds with everybody in the world, I would say you're in a much better place right now than you were in 2018.
Gotta love it. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely better mindset. I'm healthier. I've had amazing doctors working with me. Yeah, I'm very grateful for how far I've come. I'm glad that you noticed that.
And all the friends you made for the Dark Mark show, and also Vegans Uncensored, your other podcast. So
yeah, and I thank you, Mark, for giving me this opportunity.
I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm saying I'm glad.
You should.
I know we've both been there. We've been there through our struggles, not that withstanding. And I think right now things are really. I see you happy most of the time. When I didn't see that this time last year, which is great.
Yeah. I even changed my surroundings in my room, remodeled it, made it happier instead of just everything black and depressing.
Yeah.
The magic of feng shui. Anyways, I was going to say now, and you and Sal have a nice little brother sister teasing banter. So I got to watch some more episodes. I just caught one and I thought it was great. Your other podcast. Now, you had Witch Doctor, you got Betwixt the Shadows, and I think Betwixt the Shadows is the latest one, but you started the Glitter Cast. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I can't do a show without cops just barreling down the street with their sirens on.
Welcome to LA, or helicopters.
Oh, no, and we did a show a couple weeks ago after the Dodgers won, and just fireworks all over the place. But
all the way in my area, it was like boom, boom, boom.
But
boom.
I shouldn't have this emotion, but I am envious because you got to interview Elvira Bistress of the Dark, which I listened to both parts of that today, and also upcoming, you've got Dita Von Teese coming on the show. You've got just so many crazy guests that I would love to talk to. And I've met Dita Von Teese, I've hit on Dita Von Teese, but I've never met Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And you know how People Magazine has the sexiest man alive?
Yeah.
To me, she's the sexiest woman alive still.
She's so hot. It's crazy. I can't believe like she's gonna be 70 next year. And she's,
I know.
My grandpa too. He loves her and he loves her personality. And he's just like, she's so cute.
With or without the Elvira makeup, she's just stunning.
No. Yes, totally. She is. Yeah.
And she's still got like a bit, you know, such a youthful presence too.
And so smart and so funny.
She is, all those things.
And Hannah, I recommend you listen to this episode, but I will, there was a lot of stuff. First, apparently she was talking about she bought a haunted house. Now, did you know Elvira? I mean, are these people that come into the Crooked Path? Is that how you meet them? Or how did you meet Elvira?
We live in the same neighborhood. And we have some mutual people in common. So that's kind of how that happened.
It's a good neighborhood.
Yeah, it's nice.
You got the witch doctorate. You got Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Probably, you know, who knows who else is out? Who else is there? And probably Eddie Munster. And who knows who else?
Yeah, like I live on the spookiest street.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like the Addams Family. Like, they were the only ones on the street. You're on a street where, like, there's one suburban household, and the rest is Elvira and Nicole Watt and all these other people. But so you guys, because you definitely were old friends. She was gonna. At the end of the show, she's gonna loan you a book that she got from Elvis Presley.
Not that she didn't get it from him. He recommended it to her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But first off, I wanted to talk about you got to hear the story because she lived in a haunted house. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I found out that she was married to a guy named Mark. That I didn't know. I also found out that you can't swim, which is another thing we have in common.
But, I can't swim either. I'm with you.
Okay, well, there you go. That's three of us. So Elvira moves into a haunted house. And I didn't catch from the interview, but was she already Elvira when she moved into the house? Or was she still like...
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so all the irony.
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then she ended up selling it to Brad Pitt, apparently.
Yeah, he still has it.
Oh.
Like totally, he bought, it was a property that was split up into a bunch of other properties. And so he bought that house and he started buying up the original properties like that were converted into houses. So he started to buy back, you know, parts that were sold off and he's like restored it to its original glory.
Okay.
It's called Briarcliff Manor. You can look it up on, you know, Briarcliff,
oh, okay.
Los Angeles is what you want to Google, but you can see, you know, some backstory. You can find it online.
I've heard of Briarcliff Manor. Now it's all making sense. I was listening and doing other things, so I didn't catch that. But yes, I've heard of that. And she did, even her husband, who was skeptical for a while, even was just like, I'm starting to see it. I'm going to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then that was a great first episode. And then the second episode was about manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
And how she, when she, apparently every time she sees a movie, it comes true because.
I know.
She saw an Elvis movie and then ends up dating Elvis. She saw some other movie. And I mean, there were like three movies. And then, oh yeah, she saw Legends of the Fall, and then Brad Pitt wants to buy her house. And there was some other movie that she saw that something happened from that.
But like Nicolas Cage, she was talking about like this Nicolas Cage movie she was watching and how she kept dreaming about him. And then he like appeared behind her and offered to buy her and her friend a drink, like as she was talking about it.
Right. And that was the least sexy part of the interview. I was just like that. I almost turned. I'm not a big Nicolas Cage fan, but anyway, I don't get
the love
him. People do. So, but anyway, but yeah, so she's like, she was telling somebody how sexy, she saw Moonstruck and she was telling her friend how sexy he was. And then she gets a tap on the shoulder. He's like, can I buy you a drink?
Yeah.
So, which is the law of attraction, which is the secret, which happens. And the thing is, there's a couple things I want to ask you, and I wanted to get, because I gave you our astrology charts, and we're almost out of time already, and I know we really got to have you back, but, well, we got 15, 20 minutes to go. But
I do have one question, too, before we end the show for her.
We're not ending the show yet, but go ahead with your question.
Okay.
We'll get into my stuff, because it gets a little involved.
Okay. Go ahead, Anna.
By the way, Zoom sucks. There's always these delays. Are you able to do psychic readings on Zoom?
Yeah, that's how I typically do psychic readings.
So you can feel the energy kind of just by looking at us? And
yeah, so I usually, when I book a psychic reading online, mm-hmm. I'll have the person send over a photograph of themselves. Okay. And that like clearly shows their eyes. And I look at their photo and for about, you know, 20 minutes before I speak to them, I'll sit down in a meditative state and I'll look at their photo and I'll basically psychically connect to them, psychically connect to, you know, their guides or whoever's helping them from the other side. And I'll take mm-hmm. notes and I'll look at, you know, how does their body feel? Do I start to feel a pain somewhere when I'm channeling this person? How do my emotions feel? And so I have a little bit of a checklist of things that I like sort of look at. And then, you know, once I connect with them on Zoom, I'll be like, hi, I've got like, you know, 2 or 3 pages of notes, but you know, what do you want to know about? And then it's sort of like, that's how it unfolds and evolves. But I actually think
Yeah, you take it in too, right? You feel yes. it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
exactly how my late friend was.
Yeah.
Just like that.
I know. That's what I
think the whole psychic thing, you have to be in the same space as the person to get the energy, right? Or no?
Mm-mm. No, I actually think it's better to have a photo of someone and just channel them that way before I meet with them, because it gives me the opportunity to be quiet and sit with their energy and analyze it. So I actually prefer that over like a walk in person at the Crooked Path, because it gives me more time to be present with the person before I even meet them or connect with them. But you can channel someone across the world psychically. They don't need to be in the same room as you.
Okay.
What's your question, Hannah?
I remember when I was a teenager, we walked into this witch shop called Obscurity. It was this tiny little shop. And this man came up to me and he says, you were something in your past life. And I've always, ever since then, and it's been 20 years, I want to do a past life regression. Have you ever done anything like that?
I have not done a past life regression. I am supposed to do one coming up with one of the crew members for Betwixt the Shadows. Her name's Jackie. Mm-hmm. Blue. But I haven't done one myself. I've done like meditations on my own, but I've never actually been, you know, put into a state by a hypnotherapist.
Okay.
Do you believe in them? Are they credible?
In past life or past life regression?
Past life regression.
I think that if you're going to do a past life reading or get past life regression done, it needs to be with a licensed hypnotherapist. But you know, when it comes to past life readings and things like that, it's a really hard thing to prove. So, you know, there is a way that you can sort of look at it astrologically as well. But if I'm going to be doing like a past life, if I'm going to be doing like a psychic reading in general, and you know, I try to keep it focused on what's helpful to the person now. And I don't necessarily know that past lives are always a part of what's helpful to us now, you know?
Because the knock on it, the skeptics will say, everybody's a princess or a knight or a king in a past life. There's never a janitor in a past life. There's never like—
Or it's something you may have been like, sometimes I feel like maybe I was a bad person in my past life. That's why I was born with a chronic illness, you know? There's like so much out there you just think of.
No, it's true. I mean, it's her right to think that. I think that if you've got a chronic illness, you're going to try to explore the different realms of your psyche. I don't necessarily think that even thinking that would maybe even make you feel bad. It's just like, I wonder, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's like that concept that like, you know, when we come into this lifetime, we've signed up for particular lessons. And I think that like when it comes to someone's personal experience, it's really up to them to decide like what their point of view is on that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I stand corrected. I just don't want Hannah to think that, you know, I've seen her and I do this myself, beat herself up unnecessarily. Psychologically, there's no reason for it. And I'm conscious when I'm doing this, and this leads me into the law of attraction, all that, and the manifestation, which I was just about to get into. In that I'm conscious of negative thoughts coming to my head, and I know, like, you know, they're like the secret to the law of attraction. I know the concept. There's two things I wanted to ask you. One is, you know, you say when you started with your spiritual journey, meditation was really what helped you. And I really, I don't meditate enough, and I really need to get a practice going every single day, just like I need to exercise every single day. Is there anything you would recommend as far as meditation that I can do every single day?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, it depends on, you know, when you're meditating, is this a situation where you're having a hard time relaxing? Like, does your mind work too fast, or do you fall asleep? Like, you know, it's sort of like what happens when you're meditating. That's one of the things that's worth looking at. I think that people often feel pressured to reach a state of...
She froze. The Zoom froze.
No.
That's what she was talking about, getting into a state of. And I hope that she's listening to us and she gets that corrected.
But, yeah.
Unless she's really in a deep meditative state, which is entirely possible, that froze her entire body and she's concentrating very.
Or maybe it's just the Zoom app. The Zoom wants to meditate for a moment.
Well, I think Zoom is paying me back for saying Zoom sucked earlier in the show. I'm going to text her and let her know that the.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second. Here she goes. Oh, you froze.
I did. Where did I leave you off?
Okay, you're back.
You're in such a deep meditative state, you froze. But
So, I mean, I think that there is a pressure to, like, you know, reach a state where you're not thinking about anything. And I don't necessarily know that that's a realistic thing to ask humans to do, because we're just, our minds don't ever stop. We even dream.
I very rarely dream.
You must dream. You just probably don't remember it.
I very rarely remember a dream in the morning.
You know what you should do? You should set an intention before bed. Say, I intend to remember my dreams. And then as soon as you wake up, try to remember it.
Okay.
There are actually also stones that you can put next to your bed. Like blue halite is a good dream recall stone, or like a clear quartz.
Okay. Do you use a mantra, or do you just meditate?
I say, you know, when I want to remember my dreams, or when I'm meditating.
When you're meditating.
So I don't really use a mantra. What I will do is I'll usually do some sort of visualization. I think a really good way for people to develop psychically is to sort of try to visualize the room that they're sitting in with their eyes closed and try to pick up as much detail as you can. And this is a way to develop your clairvoyance, which is like our third eyes and psychic sight. But, you know, I have a lot of different reasons why I'll meditate. Sometimes it's just to release. Sometimes it's to connect spiritually. Sometimes it's to channel someone. So depending on what like my agenda is, it will sort of dictate what sort of meditation I do. But if you're just trying to sort of like meditate and develop psychically, or even like meet one of your spirit guides, people are always wanting to like meet their spirit guides and meet their spirit team. And a good way to do that is to, you know, visualize the room that you're sitting in, you know, as much as you can, and then invite in like one of your guides, say, hey, like, you know, will one of my spirit guides please show themselves to me? And then, you know, see if your mind takes you to some weird places. And you can even visually like leave the room, you know, open the door to the room that you're in, and then all of a sudden it's a field instead of your hallway. And that's basically how you get into astral projection. You start to like traverse different worlds in your mind's eye.
Hard to do with studio, but I'll see what I can do. Go ahead, Hannah.
Do you have any crystals that you would recommend that I could put by my bed? Ever since I was maybe 6 years old up until now, I suffer from the most terrifying sleep paralysis. Oof. And I always have, and I cannot shake it. I cannot get rid of it.
Yeah. So for crystals, I like to put, it goes by two names, either.
There she froze again. She was just about to tell you the crystals.
Yeah.
And then so now she's frozen. I'm going to keep this in the show, by the way, because this is, I think it's hilarious, especially the YouTube, because it's pretty funny. But Trisha will unfreeze.
Please excuse my tears, guys. She reminds me of my Beverly a lot. It's
going by so fast.
It is.
I'm going to go one last question. If you have any last questions, and then hopefully I'll just have her do your astrology reading because we're running out of time. Unless she wants to go a little longer. Let's see. Oh, here she comes.
Yay.
You froze right when you were going to say the name of the stone.
Okay, so it's either referred to Celestite or Celestine. And that's my favorite crystal to work with if I want like pleasant dreams. But actually, this came up on Betwixt the Shadows the other day. And what Sal recommended was taking an egg and putting it in a bowl of salt and putting it under your bed. And the point of it is that if there's like an entity that's attacking you in your dreams, which is whenever I have sleep paralysis, it feels like I'm being attacked.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, and so the idea is that because the egg is like an embryonic sort of symbol and it represents something that's more intelligent than you, that whatever it is will be more attracted to the egg.
Okay.
And so leave that there for maybe like a week or two, and then switch it out, but take the old egg and don't crack it. Just take it somewhere away from your house and bury it, you know, deep in the end, somewhere where, you know, it doesn't get a lot of foot traffic.
Okay, great.
Now, Hannah's vegan. Can she use like just egg or like a vegan egg substitute?
Grandpa has eggs in the house. He eats eggs. I can just grab one of his. All right.
My bad joke made Renee freeze again. So, I'm assuming, I'm gonna find out what episode that is at the end of the show, and we're gonna let you know what episode that is.
Yeah.
Assuming it's episode 4 because that was the latest episode. And hopefully we can get Renee back. I got one more question, and then we can do your astrological chart, not mine, but here. While we're waiting, Elvira just tweeted a photo of herself with her cat.
How beautiful.
How beautiful. And okay, she just logged off. I'm sure she'll log back in. But I gotta move into Renee's neighborhood. She's hanging out with Elvira and all these other people.
Yeah, I want to go too.
I'm feeling it's Sherman Oaks or thereabouts. So I know Elvira.
I like it out there.
CIA and other places. I was wondering because I knew you would have so many questions about all this, and you were kind of shy at the beginning of the show.
I keep getting kicked off my internet.
That's okay. As you were, Elvira tweeted a picture of her with her cat, and look how beautiful that is.
Yeah, Ashley just passed away.
Sorry?
Yeah, there was a post about how the cat passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Jesus, me and my perfect timing. The show was about manifestation and the law of attraction, and you know, I just seem to be getting into my own way, in my own way, in a lot of.
That is in your chart.
Okay, well, I guess this is a good time to segue into that. This is my astrological chart.
Mm-hmm. So basically, like, I think that you do get in your own way, and it probably has to do like revolve around themes of like self. Like could be like self-worth or like feeling like you can take on the work or like almost like a security thing, like because you have your sun, which is like your ego and the things that you aspire to achieve, and it's in opposition to an asteroid called Chiron, which is sort of like the wounded healer. And because your Chiron is in Taurus is all about security and feeling secure. And so that's like themes around like you may like, you know, you may have an opportunity, but like on some subconscious level, there may be like some self-doubt. And so that's like when getting in your own way occurs.
Oh, that's the story of my life. How do I rectify this? Or is it just in the stars and I can't do anything about it?
I mean, I think that just sort of like, you know, it can even come down to like not going after opportunities because there's a fear of like not, you know, like not having it come to fruition. And so it's just sort of like making peace, like, you know, that if something doesn't work out, like that's okay. And just still like taking, you know, being proactive about making things happen. But also there's like a patience there with like the Chiron being in Taurus where it's like, you know, things may not happen as quickly as you want them to. So allow your build to be a slow one and just take them, you know, in slower steps and have patience.
It's slow build.
Yeah.
It's a very slow build. But okay. Well, I gave you a date of birth, my birth, and our birthdays are so close. Does that mean our lives are similar, our personalities are similar, or no?
I mean, we're both Scorpios, but we have a lot of different planetary placements. So, I mean, I think in some ways, you know, we are similar, but we don't have a lot of our planets in the same place.
Because it was weird when we met, and it was on my birthday, which is the day after your birthday. And I remember we were both like going, huh, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The goth comedian meets the witch comedian, and we had no idea about each other. We had tons of the same friends and the same people, and then like we're like, huh, and then yeah, and then we just hit it off right away, and it was so weird. I mean, it was weird to me, but you see this type of phenomenon all the time, and it was weird to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that anytime there's some sort of like a coincidence or serendipity, like, you know, I don't ever want to be the person who's like, can't appreciate that, you know, even though it's a part of my life and my work, I still, you know, think that it's magical. You know, I don't take magic for granted.
Well, speaking of magical, I want to get this in before you freeze again. We have to, this is the real what we've been waiting for the whole show. I want you to do Hannah's chart. Now, did you look at one of Hannah's pictures before you did the chart?
I mean, I'd seen her picture just through, you know, like Instagram posts and things that you've put up before. I mean, to do an entire chart, it takes an hour, okay. You know, so to like run down a chart. So I'm curious, Hannah, do you have any questions about your chart? Or was there something that you were kind of, you know, interested in?
Like, as far as like, what kind of question would I be able to ask?
Well, like if there's any areas, so like, you know, with a natal chart, we can see things like, we can see past lives a little bit, but we can look at career, we can look at, you know, love, sex, discipline, you know, kind of, there's kind of a full range of possibilities there. I mean, if you don't have any specific questions, I can also just sort of.
Funny you went to love, sex, and discipline.
Yeah, that's everything I'm like learning right now.
Really?
And I finally have love in my life, and I'm learning how to make discipline with my, you know, workout routine and work and having everything in order.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, let's go off of all that. That's amazing that you mentioned that.
So your Venus is in Capricorn, and typically speaking, Capricorn can kind of be like, there's a lot of walls that you have to break through if you want to get to know Capricorn. So with mm-hmm. you, like you may encounter situations where romantically, like people don't always know that you're interested in them. Or mm-hmm. like it may be hard for you to sort of show your emotional side to people. Like there's sort of like a reservation mm-hmm. around, you know, emotional vulnerability. Now with that, there is, you know, you have a helpful aspect to the planet Saturn. And so this is kind of like a situation where, you know, you just need to kind of figure out where your boundaries are when it comes to partnerships. Like it could be a situation where it's like you either have too many boundaries or you don't have mm-hmm. enough. And so.
Yeah.
There it is. I know she's going to freeze. Her dog froze this time too. That's what's good. It's right there. In her lap. And, oh boy, but yeah, I while she's frozen, I gotta say, I'm somewhat skeptical of astrology.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the way the planets line up. Like that would be like everybody born when I was born has the same life. That doesn't make any sense. Has the same personality traits.
I'm so annoyed. Stupid internet. Where did I leave off?
I
have the boundaries.
Yeah, so it's about like finding a good balance in your boundaries where you're able to, you know, make time for both your relationships and vulnerability, but also, you know, like your own personal goals. And so it's like scheduling dates and scheduling nights to yourself. Like those really is important.
Yes, yes.
You know, there can also be like, you know, Capricorn can be kind of like a harsh, restrictive sort of sign. And so you might like, you might be attracted to people who are, you know, maybe in your past were attracted to people who were maybe a little bit sort of like wanted to be restrictive of you. Mm-hmm. And so you have to make sure that the way that that energy comes through is by people who are just sort of like seeing the value in you going after the things that you want in life and applying structure towards your goals versus like them trying to keep you away from like social situations or talking to other people. So like there's a healthy way that energy can come through, and then there's an unhealthy way that that energy can come through. Does that make sense?
Okay. It does. It really does.
Perfect.
Especially with my, like my mother.
Oh my gosh. You know, what's funny is that your Venus is in your fourth house, which is the house that rules your mother. So like there are things around the mother with this.
Yeah.
By the way, your dog's much more energetic during her reading than mine. Is your dog feeling something psychic when you're reading for Hannah? Is that something going on?
I think she just wants to chew on me and play with my hair. I think she just like, you know, is done with her nap and she's being a puppy.
That's voodoo the dog.
Voodoo, the Brussels.
Okay, so that was the reading, or was there more? I didn't mean to interrupt.
I'm trying to see here. Let's see. I mean, there, you know, you also have a little bit of the same thing that Mark has in his chart, where it's sort of like you may sometimes, like, you have a square between Saturn and your sun, which basically means that, like, sometimes you might not necessarily have the discipline with yourself that you need in order to accomplish the things that you want. So there's definitely like a lot of creative artistic energy, and there's definitely a desire to be expressive. Yeah. But it's almost like sometimes you might put something out there and be like, fuck, why did I say that?
Why? Exactly. Yes. Yes. Delete.
Yeah. And so it just comes down to like just being a little bit more methodical about the work that you put out, and sort of like, you know, even if it comes down to like having like a step-by-step plan that you lay out for yourself, or even if it comes down to like if you need help with like certain aspects of your career, like asking for hiring people, or like even, you know, doing like a trade, so that you can sort of not feel like you have to take everything on. And okay. with your son being in Aquarius, there can also be a little bit of a, like, you know, you have some stuff in your chart that you may sometimes like have a hard time changing your mind about things. And so it's like, mm-hmm. sometimes someone may give you good advice, but you might have like this little bit of a rebellious edge to you where you're like, I'm going to do it my way, 'cause I'm myself. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's just about sort of like, you know, putting that in check so that you can listen, and then you don't have to necessarily take everyone's advice. And really it always comes down to the delivery. And it's almost like if someone's too blunt with you, you're like, fuck you. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like sort of like putting that to the side and allowing yourself to like hear advice, even if you're not necessarily like, you know, wanting to, even if it's like unsolicited, taking a second with it to decide whether or not it's good advice or bad advice. So that way you can, you know, just finesse your moves a little bit more.
Okay.
You do have really good, you do have really good connections between Mercury, which is the planet of communication, and your moon, which is sort of like how we feel our emotions. So you are really good about speaking from a place of like emotional truth. But again, like you have to use discernment when it comes to who you can trust with like your vulnerability, your vulnerable side. Yeah. With your moon being in Gemini, you know, this is a really tricky placement because the Gemini is the only sign that has a partner. It's the twins in astrology. And so with your moon being in Gemini, and your moon being how you process emotions, like this can be a situation where like people can easily like confuse you emotionally. Like if you've heard of gaslighters and things like that,
yeah.
you're more susceptible to that because you're able to almost like emotionally process things from more than one angle. And so if you start to feel emotionally confused, that's when it's going to be important for you to step back from whatever the situation is and go into like almost like a, you know, a little bit of an isolation for a day or two, however long it takes you to find that clarity within yourself, you know. And this is also, you know, there can be problems with indecision as well with the Gemini moon. So again, it's, you know, allowing yourself to slow down and quiet down to get the answers. And if you feel like you're not, you know, able to fully come up with a solution to something, that's when you sort of like, it's good to ask your spirit guides, like, hey, can you please show me clarity on this? Can you help me find clarity on this? And then that can usually sort of like help clear that up.
Great. Thank you so much. That was so spot on.
Yeah. When you said sex, love, and discipline, I thought, as I've been predicting, that Hannah's going to be a dominatrix someday. But
she has good prospects for being a dominatrix. She does.
I've been saying that every time we have a dominatrix on.
She does. Her Saturn has a helpful aspect to her Venus, which is a good aspect. It's like good. You could be a good dominatrix. I thought that too.
Thank you.
We're all on the same wavelength. And you know how you said that Hannah. A lot of people don't know that she's attracted to them. When I met you, you could tell right away I was attracted to you, right?
To me?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't too subtle.
You weren't too subtle or too forward. It was the perfect amount of me being able to tell.
Oh, good. Okay. Renee, you were a delight. Hannah, was I right? Do you love this woman or what?
I do. Thank you so much for, you know, doing our, you know, our signs and coming on the show. And it was wonderful. Thank you.
And you asked for our birthplaces, and I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and you were born in Ketchikan, Alaska. Mm-hmm. That's for the exact placement of the stars when we were pushed out of the womb. Is that what it is?
Yeah. And to like, you know, that the time zone is correct and stuff like that when we're looking at, you know, how we're putting the data in for interpretation. But yeah, the natal chart is where all the planets were placed at the moment that you were born. So it's the energy that you're hit with as you come out of the womb. And so the idea is that it's sort of like the universe is putting a thumbprint on you. And sort of,
I was a very difficult birth. I was the first footling breach in Ketchikan, Alaska. And there was a huge storm that night.
Ooh.
Oh, does that change anything?
Well, you were like coming out, swinging.
Yeah.
That's the thing. What if it's like a 10-hour birth? Like a long birth? Like you were supposed to come out and then you didn't come out till like 10 hours later. Does that change anything? I don't know.
In terms of astrology?
Yeah.
I mean, you could pull charts for anything. You know, one thing. Let's see. I mean, I think it's interesting that I just totally lost the place that I was going to refer to, the aspect that I was going to refer to. I mean, I think it's a little bit interesting that like she had all these like crazy circumstances like around her birth, just because the planet Neptune is at a critical degree in her fourth house. So that could sort of be an indication about like the uncertainty that like your mother felt going into birth, because Neptune is the planet of like, you know, kind of like deception or illusion or not being sure. There's confusion around that planet. And when something's at 0 degrees, like it just means that there's like a lot of power coming through because it's just now entering that sign. So I think that's a little bit interesting as well.
Yeah. And I was supposed to be a boy up until, because I sat funny in the womb and I'm like, no, it's a girl.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Either that or you have a really big clitoris. Anyway, Renee, I couldn't resist. It's set up so easy. It's been over 15 minutes. I appreciate you so much doing our charts on top of all the readings that you've done today. And I really appreciate it. Now, hopefully you don't freeze. Tell everybody all about your shows, all about your website, and all the services that you can give. The time is yours.
Thank you. So my website, I'll refer you to first. It's rainbowglitterstar.com. And I have spell kits there that you can buy, crystal kits, you know, spells to help you find a soulmate. I have house cleansing kits if you feel like there's some, you know, funky energy in your house that you want to get rid of. And then there's also information on like the different types of readings that I offer. And, you know, you can reach out to me through there to book one. My podcast, The Glittercast, is available on all podcasting platforms. And for anyone that sends me a screenshot of their written 5-star review, I enter you into a raffle for a monthly drawing where I give away free crystals and free psychic readings. If you send me a screenshot of your written 5-star review and say that you heard about me on the Dark Mark show, I'll draw a tarot card for you as well. So add a little bonus to your listeners. You can find me on Instagram at Rainbow Glitter Star, at The Glittercast for my new podcast, at Betwixt the Shadows, which airs every Wednesday on YouTube at 7. And if you can't catch the live stream, you can catch it on the replay. Witch Doctorate is just once a month now, and it's monthly horoscopes. So the next one will be when we move into Sagittarius season.
The Betwixt the Shadows episode you were talking about, was that number 4, the one that you were talking about where Sal recommended the egg? Is that number 4 or number 3?
Yeah. It was number 4, yeah.
Number 4, Hannah.
Okay, great.
And also, I did want to mention, Glittercast was one of the 15 podcasts recommended by Cosmopolitan Magazine as one of the top spiritual podcasts. And I just listened to both the Elvira episodes, and they were great, so I'm going to listen to the other ones. And Hannah?
Yes.
You have your own podcast besides this.
Uh-huh, Vegans Uncensored, where we discuss lots of vegan food, beauty products, music, and much more. So, yeah.
Vegans Uncensored, and your Hail Hannah
Bach. Hail Hannah Bach 666 on Instagram and TikTok, yes.
Yes. Oh, yes, you're doing TikTok videos now.
For fun.
Renee, are you going to do TikTok readings, or what's in the future for you?
I played with TikTok for a little bit, but I feel like it'll be a second before I'm like really invested, just because there's so many projects happening right now. I'm just trying to
I gotta tell you, once again, thank you for being on the show, but I'm so proud of you and what you've accomplished in the last 2 years and these last 2 years. And I can't wait to see what happens in the next 2 years. And follow me on all social media, Goth Comedian. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
And happy Friday the 13th.
Oh, I forgot to mention happy Friday the 13th, everybody.